Ideally, the lesson would be perfect for that of what someone might call an Easter lesson or something like that. It's a lesson that focuses upon Jesus being the Son of God. And as we think about Jesus being the Son of God, I think about how it was different for the people in the first century church who actually witnessed the things that Jesus did, the things that he was able to do these miracles in front of folks, and how his fame had spread throughout all the land of Judea and all the regions of Galilee around about, and the folks knew him because of the miracles that he had done. And Jesus was truly the Son of God. Now, I've actually blacked out several of the slides, the opening slides, I guess maybe sake of time. I got to apologize also because I don't have the Spanish translations on here as I thought that I did. I apologize to you for that. But Jesus, if you will, he was truly the Son of God. And for us, it takes a great amount of faith for us to hear the things that we read about in the Bible, that we see in the Bible, that we study about in the Bible, and whenever we get up here and we preach to people, and it takes a great amount of faith for you to accept what it is that Jesus went through upon the cross as he was, all these prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus, and how we take it by faith that this is what happened to him. And we could go into Thomas and the things that Thomas saw, and as we would sing Thomas's song. I think that was sing this morning, wasn't it? As Thomas's song was sung, and we would call Doubting Thomas. Because he wasn't going to believe unless he could see the nail prints in Jesus' hand, unless he could thrust his hand through the hole in his side. He wasn't going to believe. And whenever he saw him, he fell down at his feet. My Lord and my God. He believed. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you haven't seen this, you believe. But far greater blessed are them who haven't not seen and yet will believe. And on us today, it falls to the fact that we haven't seen these things, but we believe and are sure that the things we read about are true. And that whenever we read about this man, Jesus, in the Bible, that we believe that he was truly the Son of God. And as Jesus came about on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, and they did eat. He said, this is my body, broken for you. And he took of the cup also, and he blessed the cup, and he said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you, for many, for the remission of sins. The night that Jesus instituted it, and he gave it to his apostles, the same night that he was betrayed. And then you see Peter as they began to fall off as Jesus was betrayed, how his apostles all fled, and how Jesus was going to go through this great trial now. And that's where I really want us to pick up from at this point, was what Jesus went through. Now, Jesus was brought before Caiaphas in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 57, it says, and they had laid hold on Jesus and led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. So this is right at the time of Judas coming and betraying Jesus with a kiss, and they now take him at nighttime. They bring him to the high priest. And now the high priest and the chief priest of the elders in verse 59, and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but it says, the Bible says, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At last two false witnesses came. It said, and this fella said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need of witnesses have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. Here he is. I don't know why they rent their clothes so much back in the day, but they did these things. He rent his clothes, saying, What further need? We don't need any other witnesses to come forth. You've heard him. He blasphemed. All these false accusations that they were bringing against him, they couldn't find any that was going to hold any water. And he said, I adjure you, Jesus, by the living God, you tell us right now whether you be the Son of God. And he said it. He said, You sayeth. Nevertheless, hereafter, you're going to see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and he accused Jesus of blasphemy. And as they did this, they then bring him before Pilate. You see, but Jesus spoke the truth. He says, And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say to the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And so whenever Jesus stood before these people, they sought these false witnesses against him. But even if Jesus had spoke the truth to him, even if he had told him what the truth was at this particular time, not that he didn't already tell them the truth, the things that he taught was the truth. The things that he said was the truth. But Jesus told them, the reason why you don't hear it, the reason why you don't believe me is because you're not of God. You can't hear the truth because there's no truth in you. You don't hear it because you're not of God. You know, they mocked Jesus. They mocked him. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 63, it says, And the men held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things, blasphemously they spoke and said unto him. My tongue gets tied every now and again. That's happens. I think it's a Texas thing. Would it have made a difference? Would it have made a difference had they blindfolded Jesus? Had they begun slapping him and saying, Tell us, who is it that smote thee? Who is it that slapping? Would it have made a difference if Jesus would have said, Andrew, you're the one that just slapped me. Garland, you just slapped me. I know. Well, I mean, would that have changed their mind? That wouldn't have changed their mind. It wouldn't have changed their mind because just what Jesus said, Ye therefore hear them not. You don't hear these things because you're not of God. They didn't want to hear these things. The things that Jesus spoke was the truth. And they mocked him. They challenged his deity. More deity challenges would become what we would see as he would be hung upon the cross. We won't necessarily go into that. But as Jesus was hung upon the cross and they said, He saved others, Himself He can't save. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. I mean, the things that He went through. (Clears throat) I thought about not telling this story, but I'm going to. Just to show you that I probably couldn't have handled it how Jesus handled it. Because I was put, not in a similar situation, but I was newly professed to Christ. I was trying to live a Christian life. I was really trying to go forth and to not speak how I used to speak, to be a different person. Everyone that I was coming across, I was telling about Christ because I thought everyone needed to be saved. It's just what I was doing. I mean, all my friends, all my high school friends, the college people that I was meeting, everyone that would give me the time of day, I would try to find a way to work in. Hey, have you been saved? How did you get saved? And we'd go over baptism. I'd talk to people about baptism. I mean, oh, what do you think about this in the scripture? And what do you think about that in the scripture? And I would go over these things with people. Just if they would give me the time of day to do it, I would do it. Someone said, Jason, you're going about this all the wrong way. You can't just unload on people like this. And I was like, why not? Maybe I had the wrong approach back then. I don't know. I didn't know if there was a right way or a wrong way. But I was talking to this girl. I was really interested in this girl. She was a girl from Cordell, Oklahoma. And we were talking. And I was like, oh, I go to church now. And I'm doing this now. And I guess she really wasn't right for me, because one night her and her other friend decided, as we were chatting online together, that they were going to start trying to make me mad, to get me to say stuff that I shouldn't say, or to get me to... And eventually they got me so mad that I broke and I said something that I shouldn't have said. And I couldn't imagine, because if I could put myself in the place of Jesus here, as they mocked him, as they slapped him, as they spit upon him, and all the things that they did to Jesus here, I mean, they didn't slap me. They didn't spit on me or nothing. All they did was say some words to me. And eventually it made me mad, and, oh, you're not really a Christian. Oh, you're going to fail, all this or that. You know, they eventually brought Jesus before Pilate. It says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 23, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. And Pilate answered, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate, to the chief priests and the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. And when Pilate had heard of Galilee, he asked whether this man was a Galilean. Now, there was three accusations brought up against Jesus at this point. The first accusation was, he stirs up the people. This is a person that is stirring up the people. He's forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. And he says that he's a king. And Pilate says, well, I don't find any fault with this man. Now, why did they bring up that he was stirring up the people? Why did they bring up to Pilate that he was forbidding people to pay tribute to Caesar? That was because Pilate was in charge of keeping the peace and taxes. And so they're trying to bring this false accusation against Jesus. They said, hey, this fellow Jesus, he's telling people, he's perverting a nation. He's perverting the nation, not wanting people to keep peace. But they themselves were the people stirring up the hatred. They were the ones out there rounding up people at midnight, bringing up these trials and trying to bring up these false witnesses against him. They were the one that got this whole mob mentality going. They said, oh, he says, he forbids people to pay tribute to Caesar. But we know that also was a lie, because in Luke chapter 20, verse 25, Jesus asked about the inscription on that coin and whose inscription was it. And they said Caesar. And then Jesus said, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be of God. And so Jesus never forbid people to pay tribute to Caesar. But rather, he said, you give the things that are Caesar's to Caesar, and the things that are God's, give those to God. Not for us to lose the perspective of it. And when Pilate had heard of Jesus being a Galilean, he sent him before Herod, because Herod was in charge of this Galilean. And in verse 8 of Luke chapter 23, it says, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. He had hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, and with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Now that's something interesting to say. This was what I was talking about, our faith at the very beginning. Here Pilate was, he had heard of God, he knew about Jesus, he had heard of Jesus for a long time ago because he had heard of the things that Jesus had done. He had heard many things of what Jesus had done. And so he was desirous to see Jesus, to meet Jesus. He wanted to see some great thing done by Jesus. And how disappointing it had been to be Herod on this day, because whenever he finally had this golden opportunity, he's been waiting so many days or so many years or months, and he's finally got this golden opportunity, and Jesus won't even answer him. He answered him nothing. And he sends him back to Pilate. But as we see here, Jesus again, in this account, as he's brought before Herod and the men of war, they robe him in this gorgeous robe. And they begin to mock him and say all these things against him and just the things that Jesus had to go through. And now he's back before Pilate. It says in Luke 23, verse 13, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, and have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. And so they don't want Jesus released. And he says, who for certain sedition made in the city for murder, or sedition made in the city and for murder, was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I find no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And I always thought how sometimes we give Pilate this bad rap. But think about Pilate just being a defense lawyer. Okay, he fails Jesus as far as that goes. But he's there and he's standing before the crowd and with Jesus there. And he's saying, listen, you've brought him here. You told me that he's someone that stirs up the people, that he perverts the nation. And I've studied this and I haven't found anything worthy of death. And yes, I've even sent you to to Herod, and Herod can't find anything worthy of death before him. Now let me just chastise him and let him go. And they said, no, release unto us Barabbas. And Pilate finally says, why? What evil has he done? What did Jesus do? You think about Pilate pleading here with him. What did this man do that he's worthy of death? But Pilate, eventually, after Jesus had been chastised, if anyone ever saw the Passion of the Christ, you saw what Jesus went through. That was a very vivid imagery of the things that Jesus went through. He was delivered to their will. Pilate folded to their will. And now he's delivered to be crucified. In Matthew 27, verse 26, it says, then release he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. In verse 32, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross, because Jesus was too weak physically to bear his own cross, to carry it up to Golgotha. Matthew 27, in verse 45, and this is really where the heading or the topic comes from this afternoon. Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, he says in verse 45, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calls for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let it be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Then it says, Jesus, when he had cried again, with a loud voice yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out from the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Of all these things that they had seen. Here the centurion is. He's in charge of watching Jesus while he's on this cross. And here he is. He's seeing all these things as Jesus yields up the ghost after having cried this, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as Jesus yields up the ghost and the temple is twain and it's rent from the top to bottom, the rocks are rent, the sky goes dark after seeing all this, and the dead, people from the dead arose. How about that one? The zombie apocalypse? Hey, it happened already. It could happen again. After they saw all this, they said, truly, this was the Son of God. Now, if we saw that today, what would we, would you say that? Having seen all that Jesus had done, these people knew the miracles that Jesus had done. Because shortly after this, Jesus was going to rise from the dead. Shortly after this, he was going to come back. He was going to go to his disciples. He was going to send them forth in the Great Commission to go forth. They were going to go on the day of Pentecost. They were going to preach the first gospel sermon. And they were going to stand there and tell them what Jesus had gone through. You have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. And they would prick the people in their heart. They would say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Because they knew the miracles that Jesus had done. Peter stood up and he told them, you've seen these things. You've known this. Jesus was a man of God, approved among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, which you yourselves also know. The things that the centurion saw that day were enough to convince him that Jesus was the Son of God. I wonder how that changed his life. It changed 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. And it still changes lives today. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, here's what you need to do. Obey the gospel. If you haven't done that, you need to obey it. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, what's stopping you from obeying the gospel? 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8. And 1 Peter 4:17, he says, in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:17, he says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? We have to obey the gospel, or what will your end be? You do that, you continue in His Word. Continue in His Word. We're called to continue in it. Once we've obeyed the gospel, He says in John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. And He would say, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Acts 14:22, He said, confirm in the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Continuing in His Word. Striving. Jesus would say, strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able to, for lack of striving. Strive. Listen, the lesson's really yours this afternoon. As you picture the things that Jesus went through, do you believe that He went through those things? Do you believe that He died upon the cross for you and for your sins? If so, obey Him this afternoon. Be buried with Him in baptism. Get ready to walk that newness of life. Strive. Continue in His Word. Live it out in your life, knowing that whenever you go forth from this service today, that you're going to represent Christ to your neighbors, to your co-workers, to all that you encounter. You're going to represent Christ. Continue in His Word.